In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The prophet warns us of a certain danger in our practices, even our most noble practices, whether it's fasting or whatever we do. I remember once when I was discussing the things I wanted to do for Lent with my confessor, and okay. And then his last word was, but don't forget you're doing it for our Lord. There are some things we have a checklist of things that we need to get done. And so you have this phenomena, which is not our generation. These people are fasting. They were doing their penances and then wondering why we're not getting all these fruits out of them. And he says, well, it's kind of like when people were giving gifts to the temple and the woman who had nothing, who gave that, practically nothing, when she gave that, that was the greatest, right? So it's possible that we do something. It's kind of like taxation. It's onerous, but we get it done, and then we can go on with our life instead of a mindset. And it's very difficult for us to get into that. Even in the logic here, he talks about this fasting, and then he tells us what this fast really means before God, and he doesn't mention fasting at all. Breaking bonds, feeding. And that's part of the dilemma of our culture. Up until the 20th century, you could say broad-scaled, worldwide, at least 70% of a man's income went to buying food. That was a small percentage for clothes, and you didn't have too many, and a few other things, and that was it. What percentage of our average income in the Western world goes to food? Up 15, 20%, if you're living high on the hog, or if you're poor. So it's more important for our generation to really see what are we seeking to achieve. And when you understand then that 70% of somebody's income was going to feed the family, then how can you give something to somebody else? You can't do it unless you're depriving your own mouth. In other words, taking from William and giving, taking from Peter and giving to Paul. In other words, the idea of almsgiving was necessarily linked to the idea of fasting, because where else were you going to get it? It just wasn't there. And so St. Paul VI, in one of his encyclical letters, he talks about what type of obligation do we have to the poor? And he makes a very interesting observation. We have an obligation not only to give from our surplus, but from our substance. It has to touch our way of life, so that the sacrifice we're making, the alms we're giving, has an echo in something that we're renouncing in our daily life, our weekly life, our monthly budget. It should have an echo there. Chesterton has in his typically ironic way of making statements, he says, the poor can forget that they're poor. They can have a feast day. They can have a day off from poverty. But the rich can never forget that there are poor, because they have the means of remedying it. A couple of years ago, I was going down to preach a retreat in New Orleans, and we were coming in from the airport at one light. There's a beggar. We used to do that in Rome. We We'd have the brothers, if they go into town, they could give alms to the beggars. And there were plenty of them because they were coming in from Eastern Europe and from Africa. So there was everybody everywhere with no work. So you were doing a good work if you could selectively do it. And if you'd give alms at the house, then you'd have 50 or 100 people ringing the doorbells. So we had the rule, no alms giving at the front gate. You can give people food because only really hungry people come and get food. Everybody else just wants money. So give it when you go into town where they're not tracing you. But in this case, down in New Orleans, this man was there. He was proclaiming himself a military veteran. I think that was fair enough. And I'm a cheapskate, but I didn't have anything but a $20 bill. So I gave him a $20 bill. And he looked at me and got tears in his eyes. He says, "This will feed me and my boy for 3 days." I mean, even in the United States, they know how to economize and that. And so consider what I thought would be, what if we had somebody that could sit at our table and share our meals with us? Most of us could manage that. And they say, well, but I could do that through Catholic Charities or sending it, that's part of our substance. It's how we live, that I'm going to make a monthly donation to this mission or that. Make sure it's Catholic, you know. You throw it into charities. Some of them are, you know, the Clinton Foundation, 90% overhead. And you do it to the other one, and it's going to Planned Parenthood. So, but there are lots of great things. And if you give your donation through a Catholic charity, the charity is doubled. Because your work of charity, that nobody sees it, God reckons that, and it goes to those who are on the front line and are happy to have more ammunition to carry out their mission. So that's about the close link between the good works that were done and fasting. And then the people, that it's not just getting something done, it's I want to do something good to someone else, and I'm willing to take that out of my substance. And for a lot of people, their substance isn't very much. I think in Carrollton, where we are, just up the road 40 minutes, I think it's about $24,000 a year is annual income. I mean, the whole county's on poverty level. So there's plenty of good works that can be done at home and plenty that can be done around the world. Interesting then, in the further development of that, is that the Pharisees, John's disciples, these people really are looking for the coming of the Savior, and the Pharisees, they're fasting, and our Lord takes the Pharisees to task. We know why theirs was wrong, but why aren't Jesus's disciples fasting? I mean, they're having a good time, and it's catching people's eyes. These guys aren't fasting. Why not? There's in theology, they told us that if you're going to be a theologian, you have to learn kneeling theology. When St. Thomas couldn't figure something out, he would retire into silence for 2 or 3 days until God would give him the light. There's something of, and it's kind of emblematic, the theologian he's writing, he's tired. Where does he go? Goes to the refrigerator. In other words, he's going to find some creature cover. Maybe he needs it, but as a symbol, the saints, they go and kneel in the cold church and pray until they get the light. And so this idea of fasting, if we are in intimate relationship to our Lord, he continues to be our great light and consolation. And the secondary creature comforts, there's always a certain danger, but when the hours of intimacy, it's not such a danger. But what do we do when Jesus turns off the consolations? And we can consider then how much of the gratifications in my life, hunger's a good thing. They say hunger's the best cook, right? If you're not hungry, nothing tastes very good. How many of the gratifications I have, whether it's food or drink or internet or listening to the music or things, are actually pleasure compensation to quiet our loneliness, the silence of our Lord? And that's what our Lord is talking about here. As long as the bridegroom is with them and their delight is in the Lord, those other things don't pose such a threat to our spiritual life. But who's a little Canadian pianist that's blessed? She used to have, she'd talk about moments of desolation or aridity, and she'd say, now it's my turn to remain faithful to our Lord in prayer, in quiet, or spiritual reading, the exercises of the spiritual life, or even putting up with the crosses and humiliations in our life and not try to band-aid them with other types of compensation on a creaturely level, which has a negative effect of somehow alienating ourselves from God. May God inspire us to see, how can I make at the appropriate times the little sacrifices to prove to God, to prove to our Lord that I'm earnest in our relationship? And those types of little sacrifices, which nobody else but you and Jesus needs to see, those are what dispose our souls and lead to our purification and invite the bridegroom to draw us into deeper intimacy with himself. May he grant us that light and that generosity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.